sage-like advice.
Happy holidays, Eddie Rouse. Eddie's sage-like advice.
Ho, 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 you hoes.
Welcome, Mr. Rouse. Big holiday plans this year?
Yeah, stay out of the holiday plans.
Oh, damn. I get it.
Permanent plan.
Now, Maddie, we've got three questions this month for Eddie.
Three.
The theme is
Jesus Christ.
People making a transition in life.
That you maybe mean a transvestite?
They've gotten a little, you know, maybe things have gone a little awry in these transitions.
They want to be ticking upward as 2014 hits.
Yes.
Maybe they're plateauing.
Oh, New year.
Like you and Matt.
Very
like
true.
That. Yes, like
very
me true. And Matt.
So let's get into it, Maddie. Question number one.
Yeah, because he has somewhere to go.
Dear
Eddie, Beverly Hills.
Kind of ironic that I'm writing to you, as it has been my writing that has gotten me into a bit of a pickle lately. I hesitate to discuss this on the radio, but like your most loyal fans, I trust you. I'm finishing up college at Kansas State University, even though I'm a Pennsylvanian like you and Matt Dillmore.
Dillmore ain't no Pennsylvanian.
I've kept my GPA hovering between 3.75 and 3.9 for all 4 years of school.
That's very good.
And will be graduating summa cum laude in the spring.
Woo!
I've been applying to graduate programs at several prestigious universities, both in the United States and abroad.
Damn!
While my academic credentials are obviously excellent, my personal experience has left much to be desired.
Usually it is when you're climbing the
ladder. I have never been one for volunteering. Frankly, Eddie, I'm a bit cynical and choose not to just give some cause a bit of my time so I can feel better about myself.
Yes.
I did some tutoring for pay when I was in high school and have done a couple of Thanksgiving kitchens with my mom's church, but that's the limit. With my parents being lower middle class, something I'm hoping an education will help me rise above, I have not been afforded the luxury of traveling like many of my classmates.
Right.
That said, Eddie, I've created what I believe is a rather compelling narrative for my personal statements, completely from my imagination. The story is not so far stretched as to strain belief. It involves my church sending me on a trip to China to a science and technology conference. These admissions people, I hope, will fall in love with how I got lost in the city on my first day and had to navigate this completely foreign world on my own devices, having a wonderful time doing so. Mm-hmm. That said, my mom is beside herself. She thinks I'll be blackballed from academia if my sham essay is discovered. I, on the other hand, think it is readily explainable and that it's a good chance to show that I write creatively and eloquently and that I know what an audience is looking for in a narrative.
Yeah, so get to the point.
My bigger point is this. Isn't it unfair that these spoiled kids are given everything on a silver platter? Why should I be stuck telling some story about my boring life up to now when these kids have parents sending them to Europe after high school? Instead of travel, I was flipping burgers and cracking open the books. I'd hate to be bypassed because of my lack of so-called, quote, worldliness. Please let me know what you think as I strive to continue my education. Sincerely, Brian from the Other Manhattan.
Man, tell your mama, with all due respect, there's a lot of lies. They got a lot of people, a lot of places. And it's not really lies. It's called public relations.
Spin.
Spin.
Yeah.
Spin the fabrication of the truth. Expand on your reality. Because the only difference between you actually being in China and not being in China is a plane ticket. Now.
That's true.
Your imagination, see, because right now we do have 40,000 satellites spinning around the globe.
Oh, yeah.
And at one time, that didn't exist.
Nope.
So. And somebody told them they were lying, but yet there they are. So all I'm saying is,
like a
my
moon
man,
lander.
We live in the land of bullshit and lies, you know? So I understand your mom thinking that the thing is you're trying to get ahead.
The mom's naive.
And your mother is thinking about integrity. She's worried about you going too far down a rabbit hole because you are on a slippery slope.
Bless her, she's
but
got
this,
good
yeah,
intentions.
She has
yeah,
a good heart.
Yeah.
That's what parents do. That's what I do to my son and my kids. I always take the high road because hopefully somewhere they'll land in the middle. And that's all that's going on with your mom. Don't make such a big deal out of it. Second of all, keep your mouth shut. But your mom knows. And the biggest thing is this. Here's the thing, dude.
Snuff her out?
No.
Oh.
At the end of the day, it's your life, not your mother's. When I was first beginning as an actor, I didn't have a resume. Not worth a damn. And what I did was I fabricated 99% was on my goddamn resume.
Yeah.
I just made sure that I was the only advice I'm gonna give you is make sure whatever's in your essay you can qualify with fact. In other words, do your homework.
Yeah.
Or kill the dude that,
you know what I'm saying?
You're lying about.
So and as I got a job, and the real stuff came on, I took the fake stuff off.
Yeah.
There's nobody that I know of, including
you.
Call advertising, man. You're advertising
Anthony
yourself.
Mackie. Just say it, Anthony Mackie.
No.
Oh.
You're advertising yourself to promote yourself. Public relations do it all the time. It's done every day, all day in Hollywood, and it's most definitely done in the halls of power and legislature, i.e. our president and all of them, those questionable human beings. You know, so you're just playing a game as it's presented to you, and you're not hurting anyone other than, from your mom's point of view, your moral integrity.
So it's a victimless crime.
It's a victim. The only victim in this is your soul, according to your mother's perspective.
Well, Eddie, we appreciate it. Sounds like, you know, the ball's in your court there. What is it, from the room,
Brian,
Manhattan?
You put it right for me,
Brian,
goddamn.
From the other Manhattan. Yeah.
He's so eloquent, but that question wasn't written too eloquent to me, so I'm questionable about
that. All right, evidence. Well, hopefully it picks up here. Question number two. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, again.
You see a lot of questions, and I hope you pick mine.
I don't see shit. I hear them.
I could really use the advice. I just started dating a girl who is really great. Her name is Farah.
They always great in the beginning, baby.
Beyond her being hot, she and I have a lot of the same interests. Hanging out is tons of fun, and she's honestly the first girl in a long time I can actually see myself being with for an extended period of time.
Because she's not a boy after you took her clothes off.
True girlfriend material.
Damn.
Oh, really? Then why a question?
I'm ready to transition to a new phase of our relationship. My roommate is taking a job in Denver quite soon.
Good.
So I'm thinking of having Farah move in as he moves out. Everything was set to make this plan happen, but then days after we agreed on the move-in, Farah revealed something quite unnerving to me. Sweet. You see, Eddie, Farah told me that even though she is happy with me and sees us being together long-term, she still has flights of fancy for her emotionally and in some cases physically abusive ex-boyfriend. The man is a horrible person. As it turns out, he was not only cheating on Farah with multiple women, one of whom he actually put in the hospital when she threatened to reveal this infidelity. Farah has a standing restraining order against this man and feels like, unfortunately, as long as the order is in effect, she will be unable to fully get him out of her head. Eddie, I know that girls like bad boys. I get that. But to me, there's a difference between a handsome greaser and a female beater. Farah told me that her lingering feelings will last because she needs to enter therapy. I've encouraged her to do so with my full support. My roommate is gone in T-minus 3 weeks, though. The clock is ticking. What do I do? Is it just the timing isn't right, or do you think it has more to do with Farah, her ex, and her head? Also, this makes me wonder when Farah wants me to, quote, play rough in the bedroom. Am I a stand-in for her ex on that level? I need your help, Sage. Thanks. Chandler, San Francisco.
First of all, move out of San Francisco.
Oh.
So stop being confused. I question that your girlfriend's a girl.
Rice-a-roni.
Second thing, dude, separate the bedroom from the boardroom. Your girl's freakiness in the bed has nothing to do with your stability outside the bed. Unless you don't answer that freakiness, then you're going to have a fucking problem.
Oh.
Your girl, like all women, and excuse me, women, for saying this, but I really don't give a fuck what you think.
Here it comes.
She's dealing on a rejection factor.
Yeah.
You must remember that men can handle rejection just by nature of our genetic code and the way we're made, because we are hunters.
I mean, I'm shot down
women
7-8 times a day.
Women are gatherers, and what I mean by that is that we go out and hunt, and we don't always bring the animal down, so we can handle that. That's okay.
I've actually literally never been turned down.
When
really?
Women, on the other hand, when they are turned down, do the opposite. They take it as a personal assault.
A slight.
On their psyche, their soul, and their spirit. Now, your woman is into this abuse because people will get used to anything. You have to teach her another way. But you do it in stages because life is not an event. It is a process.
Some type of
way. She didn't get like that overnight. She's not gonna heal overnight. The thing is, can you handle the ride? Now, if she's not ready to move in, I believe she may be using her her reason for bringing up her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Remember, another thing, dude, about women, in my experience, they're always testing your ass.
Oh.
All right? She may be testing your resolve or how much you really want her.
Pop quiz, I mean, motherfucker.
But, i.e., yeah. She's bringing up her telling you point blank she has not gotten her ex out of her head. That alone is like waving a red flag in front of a bull with the normal male psychology, because men get very defensive and territorial. So she's testing that. Are you a jealous lover?
You think she's got
testing
her ex
the water.
Out of the rest of it?
She's thinking that you're going to get her into the crib, and all of a sudden, all this beautiful stuff that you've been doing, which usually happens, disappears because now you got her. Again, you got your prey. She's in the nest. And now all of a sudden, the ugliness comes out of
Eddie,
you.
Eddie, I got to look at it from the female point of view. If this guy
you
was...
sure you're female.
Yeah, I mean, if this guy was threatening her, and she's got a restraining order, it's tough to fully close that door because the restraining order is binding, right?
The restraining orders last as long as you go until you go in front of a judge. The thing
or
is
you could just fucking put it in a file cabinet and forget about it.
Really?
Listen, fuck all that.
Eddie, has a woman ever had a restraining order?
Yes.
On you?
And?
And I didn't want to go to prison.
Did you ever hit it on the restraining order?
What?
Did she ever let you smash while she had a restraining order?
No. In fact, the whole thing was a fabricated lie just for the woman to do something else. What she's saying to you is this. She hasn't gotten out of her system running wild. That's what she did. She really doesn't have the balls to tell you. She's not finished looking around and possibly making sure she's got sex and bad boy syndrome out of her life. Read between the lines. That's what's on the table. It's not him. It's her ability to commit totally to you. That's your warning. You better listen to it for what it is. Never listen to a woman on the surface. That's not what they're talking about.
Let me ask you this.
Really listen to what they're saying.
Let me ask you this. This is a serious question. I'm not winding you up.
Yes,
okay?
Yes, you are.
Two questions.
Never.
First question.
Yes.
Do you think if the roommate were moving out, or do you think if the roommate were staying put instead of moving out, that Chandler would be as hot to trot to get her in his place?
No, if Chandler was so hot to trot to solidify this deal, he'd get an apartment and move out. He'd be the one to move
he'd
out
be the one to move
and
yes.
move with the girl.
Good.
So let's take that off the table,
okay.
Chandler, because that's bullshit.
Part two.
Calling bullshit on you, Chandler.
Here's what it is. Yeah. Females, you know, they like to get slapped around in the bedroom.
They
okay?
do that.
Not all of
that's
them.
That's what she's saying.
Most of them.
Some.
Okay, some.
Most.
And some men do. You know?
Oh, sure.
Fuck that.
And now, animals.
And animals. Now, would you,
monkeys
knowing he's not met this other ex, okay, how do you know that that restraining order and that abuse is legit? She could be burning her man.
Listen to me. Again, the restraining order and her ex
is bullshit,
are not
man.
The point that she's trying
know,
to
but
make.
Let me ask you a question.
Whether or not she moves in, next time she asks him to slap her around, he's thinking about that.
Listen, she gave herself an out, dude.
A dude.
All right?
Police.
In other words, because when she mentions that, when she gets cornered by you, because if you become a possessive asshole,
Chandler,
yes,
all right, when you become territorial, all this male shit comes roaring
macho
out your ass,
because
that's where you're really going with this. She's letting you know that she can turn around as women do. I told you, don't act like I didn't tell you I wasn't ready. I told you I was ready. She's leaving herself out. It's the same way as a woman gets drunk when she really wants to fuck a guy, and she fucks
yes.
the guy when she's drunk. So if it comes out wrong, she has an excuse.
Secret
that's
to
just
more
the
success.
Way women are. That's the secret
that's
to their success.
That's so my escape clause.
Let me ask you
I was so
women always have to have an escape clause, and rightfully so, because we will get
rock you.
Dangerous.
Oh. Now, question number three.
Hi, Eddie the Sage. My name is Martina, and I'm writing to ask you for help with my husband. I've listened to the show for some time,
him.
So I know your attitude toward the military and toward how our servicemen and women have been treated, and I think you'd be a sympathetic ear toward my plight. My husband of 6 years returned from serving in Afghanistan last summer. After coming home, there was a little bit of an adjustment, but he wasn't afflicted with PTSD or anything like that.
Right.
Mostly, he was just a bit depressed and a little bit unsure of what to do with himself.
That's the beginning, you dummy.
He had wanted to go to school, but I think a lack of confidence has dogged him since he came back.
He got no rifle
after
in his
six
hand.
Months of drifting and me keeping us afloat, a local group that puts vets to work found him a job as a stocker and cashier at a hobby
stalker.
And craft store just a couple miles from our home. It's been great because I can visit him at work.
From a sniper
really,
to a stalker.
Really keep an eye on him, ha 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 ha. And he's back home really quickly at the end of the day to decompress. My husband is proud of his
yes.
service, which is understandable. He has an Afghanistan veteran's license plate frame on his car.
Killed a raghead.
He often wears a baseball cap representing his service. He is not shy about showing off his service tattoos. Recently, though, he has run into some trouble at work for his displays of pride. On the recent Veterans Day holiday, Eddie, my husband took it upon himself to decorate the shop with yellow ribbons and American flags, and unfortunately chose to play Sousa marches on the shop sound system all day. What he thought, and I'm sure you'd agree, was an appropriate display of patriotism, was met with complaints from several of the shop's customers and a reprimand from his bosses.
You're goddamn right!
A few days ago on break, he was filling out holiday cards to his friends still overseas. He was welling up as he filled out personal handwritten words of inspirations to his comrades, only to get ridiculed later that day in the company holiday party for his patriotism. One of his co-workers even bandied about the term, quote, shell-shocked.
Oh, Jesus!
Eddie, my husband has not been able to return to work since. He is absolutely devastated that instead of being able to show his love for his country, he was essentially the victim of a hateful attack on his service.
Poor man.
Not to mention the fact that his depression should have been way out of bounds for a personal attack like that. My question to you is this, Eddie.
Thank you. Give me a question.
What do you say to a man that has been hurt like this to build his confidence back up? He's not some Rambo type that's going to go and seek revenge on this monster of a boss, and I think you'd respect that, as I've heard your position on violence. But what can I do to get my man back in the saddle? If he quits the job outright, it would look very bad to the Vets to Work program, and we fear that 2014 could be marred by unemployment and a continued spiral. Best wishes for a happy holiday season. Martina. Taps.
Yep.
Sandy's tapping
first
out.
First of all, my dear poor woman, thing I think you should do is go to your local gun store.
Oh.
And get yourself a flak jacket. Bulletproof, baby. Kevlar. Intensified. Not saying your husband gonna step off, but he halfway off the plank.
Should we amend that?
You need what?
Get yourself a doctor. Get yourself
no,
a lawyer.
Get yourself a
get
bunker.
Yourself a
hide under the ground. If your husband has a gun, get it out of town. Okay? Listen to me, baby.
Baby.
Listen to me. I'm gonna go nigga on you because we know better. We see niggas like this every day in the hood. Motherfucker come down the street, bounce his head from side to side, battling to himself, what your husband is doing. Get the fuck out of his way. Call help.
Yeah.
Your husband needs to seriously, quickly get into something that if these people are offering jobs, they should be also offering reintroduction to the social fabric of normal work. This is a train killer.
Yes.
Okay. He's being patriotic because what else is he going to do? Thank God he's hanging yellow ribbons and not 44 Magnums in his office.
Yeah, hanging
Thank
full.
God he's playing salsa. He's giving you a warning.
Not salsa.
Not saying he's going to go violent, but the man is headed down that path. And if people keep pissing him off, God help you. Because what this country doesn't seem to do, I am not an expert on this, but I've talked to people who have returned from the military, and for some reason, according to them, the advertisement doesn't meet the reality. Now, your husband should be in adjustment therapy through the Veterans Administration to help him reintegrate into the fabric of normal American life. Now, as far as jobs, baby, get over your fucking self. All right? You ain't seen shit yet. We are going down the goddamn tubes, and it's calculated for a reason. As far as I'm going to go, because
you're not getting political.
No, not on the holiday season.
Come on, Eddie.
Don't incriminate yourself.
Engage
don't
or incite
yourself.
Anything other than the question of
Eddie. I'm going to cut you now.
Why?
Be careful.
Cut the mic.
Seriously,
I got the cord in my
so,
hand.
So, darling, my prescription Eddie. To you is get your husband some help.
All right, let's leave it at that.
Close enough.
Let's leave it at that, Eddie. We want to thank you. Your fans
don't
thank you.
Don't thank me.
I feel like I speak for the fans, Matt, when I thank
please
Eddie.
Please don't speak for the fans.
I am Eddie's fan, and I thank him.
Very true.
You need to get some socks.
Now, there's a positive thrust that you have for the holiday season, and the floor is yours.
My positive thrust in the last month of the 13th year of the 21st century. Wow. This is a perpetual Friday the 13th. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Merry Christmas to everyone. Happy New Year. And to the powers that be that govern us, and to those who follow the powers governing us. All I have to say, and this is my New Year's resolution for 2014, I have no fight with anyone. I only have questions for everyone. And the question that will always be from this day forward, just one. When will we come to understand that as long as one suffers, we all lose. As long as one is without food, no one has a good meal. As long as blood is shed, life is abbreviated. As long as dreams are deferred, evolution is impossible. As long as babies are born positive, the lie will never end. until we take responsibility that we are our brother's keeper, we'll never know the true meaning of family. As long as we do not look at every man, every creature, every stone, every blade of grass, every grain of sand upon this earth as the sustenance, as nurturing, and even more important than our own blood mother, we shall become extinct upon the face of this earth. And the promise of the glory of God, or the source, or the light, or whatever you want to call it. The bottom line is, I believe that we were created to be light to mass, not mass to light. And I promise you, in the new year, I will explain what that concept is. But think about this. Who are you? Are you mass to light, or light to mass? Which is the greater? Somebody write me a question and answer about that. I'll have the answer for you next month. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and hug a motherfucker.
Well, Eddie, I thank you for the positive thrust. We will see you in the month of January 2014, right,
no,
Matt?
No, you won't. Yep.
Oh, come on. Come on, don't tease us like that.
Don't do that.
Come on.
Don't do that to your family.
Come on.
My New Year's resolution is to exclude my life of all Irish people and Jewish people.
Oh, boy.
Jesus.
Thanks, Eddie.